home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer, shot, score!
You are now listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligan. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McElligan.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, as the Blue Jackets are in the midst of the NHL All-Star break. Today is day one, but there will be one Blue Jacket that doesn't get a break. He's going to play in the All-Star festivities. It's not really a game. It's a three-on-three, four-team tournament now, but he's going to participate in that, and we're not going to give him the night off tonight either, as Blue Jackets forward Brandon Saad will join us a little bit later in the show. I'm Bob McElligan, joined by Jody Shelley, and the Blue Jackets go into the break with points in three straight games. Jody, they came back from a 2-0 deficit last Saturday in Boston to tie the game, lost that one in a shootout, so had to settle for 1 point. And then with back-to-back games against the Montreal Canadiens Monday and Tuesday, they come out with not only two wins, but two wins by the score of 5-2 against two different goaltenders for the Montreal Canadiens. And I got to tell you, it was pretty impressive the way that they got it done. And I don't know if it's too early to say, but seeing some of the similarities from the end of last year, are you not, with the way these guys are playing, all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's how you do it.
I know. And it's so, you know, it's awesome to get wins. There's nothing like wins. Those guys have worked hard. There's no doubt to get the points. And to get back-to-back wins is great, but it's just disappointing to see where they're at in the standings. And you refer to last year and that push that they had. Cautiously optimistic, I think, is how I feel about this, Bob. Yes, it's great, but they did it last year when they were out of the playoffs, and right now they go into last night way out of the playoffs. And, you know, they got to find some mojo. They got to find some good things. But I want to know what happened the first part of the season. I'm still feeling bad about that, so they can piece it together, there's no question. They've got to go on a heck of a tear. They've got to have an unbelievable February and then dial it up again. But if they can get it together, it'll be exciting. But I still have that apprehension from last year and then coming into this year.
Yeah, I totally understand, and I agree with you on that. And it seems like every time we do a show or we start to talk about something or if I'm interviewing somebody, I bring this up. I'm going to preface this by saying I'm sick of bringing it up myself. But I think it's fair to ask. It's been a couple of weeks now, the Seth Jones effect on this team. And I mean what he has done personally. I don't want to discount that. But the way the defense on this team has transformed, where it was a team that couldn't get the puck out of its own end to save its own life in the early part of the season. When you're saying you want to know what happened there, that's certainly one of the things. They just couldn't do it. And now they're a team in transition the moment they get that puck inside of their own zone. What has changed there? Is it just him or is it the mindset overall?
You know, it's interesting. When players get slotted in different parts of the depth chart, they don't try to do too much. And I think when you look at Ryan Murray and how he's paired with Seth Jones, there's a confidence and a calmness that comes from playing with Seth. Jack Johnson has been the guy that's been relied upon, him and David Savard, as being maybe miscast. I don't know. Their role is obviously play big minutes against the opposition's best players, and then for Jack to get up in the offensive zone, you know, that's a big part of his game too. But now he settles in the 3-4 spot, and I think that does a lot for Jack. He's got the experience. He's not called upon every night to play 30 minutes, which he probably wants to play, but it can be more effective and keep things simpler and really be that guy that can play with anybody out there and be versatile. You know, David Savard is still in the lineup. You got Dalton Proud, who's excelling in that role. Justin Falk has stepped in. I think that these guys are cast properly, and I think that has a lot to do with some of that transition. And when you can keep things simple, I'll give you an example. When I was in Philadelphia with the Flyers, Chris Pronger was the sheriff. He was the chief in the back end. He directed the coaches. He directed the players. He held everybody accountable by how he played and what he did. And he did a lot of little things and made them look easy. When he got injured, Braden Coburn thought he was going to be Chris Pronger. Like, he thought, you know, he was going to get them more minutes and he was going to be the guy that was responsible to really bring this team and carry them through. Well, he tried to do way too much. And so, and in professional sports, when you try to do too much and you don't understand, you know, the experience of Pronger and the skill set that he has and what he does, and he's two steps ahead of the play, he just can't do it. So he ends up hurting the team more. And I think that As the depth chart flows, when a guy gets injured, a guy gets miscast, it just puts too much pressure and guys try to just overdo it and they end up doing nothing.
Well, let's go to another position where you have that same type of thing because of injury, and that's the goaltending position where Sergei Bobrovsky is out and then Curtis McElhinney goes out. You're forced into a situation where you have a 23-year-old Anton Forsberg and a 21-year-old Jonas Korpisalo. Now, you can speak about this. I'm going to say what I think. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. As a player, if you've got a guy behind you in net that you're not sure about, you're going to play one way. When you have a guy behind you in the net that you're pretty confident is going to take care of anything, you'll play a different way. Am I right?
Yeah, and then look at the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, that's a great example of that. Carey Price is out, and they're a completely different team than we saw at the beginning of December. But in saying that, there is a temporary confidence, I think, with the backup goaltender. There's that, hey, boys, let's get together. Let's battle tonight and get this win. Or tonight, you know, maybe a few wins in a row for that backup goaltender, because you really feel for the guy. He's battling every night. He goes into tough situations. Could be, we've seen a guy go in the shootout this year in overtime, and it's like, what is going on? Tough spot to go in. So, you know, and in saying that, you look at Korpisalo, I don't think anyone has expected this kid to come in and, I mean, I go to last night in Montreal. The first 10 minutes of a game in Montreal usually is the biggest test, a huge test on any team, let alone a goaltender. And add on that the desperation of the Montreal Canadiens, and you saw it there yesterday. They're in dire straits. The fans are, you know, are ready to give up on them. They've lost. It's just been an epic slide ever since Price's went out. And here, coming on, and then add the win the night before so that the players are feeling the pressure. There was a big push last night, and Korpisalo made some huge saves that kept the Blue Jackets in it and then allowed them to strike first and go from there. He's really been impressive. But you're right. When the main guy, it's like a quarterback in football. When you have your starting quarterback, everything settles down. You trust him. You're gonna battle for him in a different level. You just have that confidence he's gonna bail you out when you're covered. And I think Sergei and Carey Price definitely bring that.
But one thing about, in making that analogy about football, you've got a backup quarterback. You've got a third string guy. They're always around the team, whether it's NFL, college. They're always around. So you see them in practice. And at least if they have to go into a game, you can go, oh, okay, well, I've seen this. That's fine. So your backup goaltender, in this case, McElhinney, I think what you just said, yeah, they rally for him. They know him. He's there every day. Doesn't get many chances to play. Let's pick it up for him. But in the sense of hockey, once you've got to get to the third guy, you're like, well, who's this guy? I mean, he played in Europe last year. He comes over. He's at camp. He looks okay. But he's been in Cleveland playing in the American Hockey League. And all of a sudden you're going, 21 years old, and I don't know. Can he play? Can he not play? He was okay in camp. We were all good in camp. We're not good now. What's going on? Isn't it a bigger question mark in this case?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thought, is that, yeah, I mean, the coach didn't even know his name or how to pronounce it or how to spell it.
He didn't see him in camp. He had no idea.
No idea. So called him the kid for the first couple games, and you know, the battle with Forsberg, those guys – it was kind of a, what do we do now? Wait and see and let this thing iron itself out. And you know, I agree with that to a certain extent. I don't understand the goaltending position totally in the sense that the goaltending coach, I don't know if there's a huge influence on the way the Blue Jackets play and the way the Lake Erie Monsters play, the same system. But you're right, an adjustment for a European goalie. The ice is bigger. The players don't dump the puck in Europe. And he's over here adjusting on the fly and learning every day from Ian Clark, goalie coach. So, interesting, because they have their own goalie coach down there in Cleveland, I think.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
yeah.
It's a similar style.
I don't know how much Ian travels down there. You know, it used to be in the day the guy would go to the minor leagues for 2 weeks and work, and now everything's so specialized. You have one guy there and one guy up here, and they communicate. And I know they're going over the same things. But
That's a good point by you, that, you know, it's not – it's more, hey, come on up to the big leagues.
I mean, if I'm Brandon Dubinsky, I'm going – all right, who is this guy? Can he, like, do I have to alter my game? Because is he going to be able to handle what's going to be thrown at him right here?
And that's fair. I mean, that's a fair observation. When you get to the National Hockey League, a team that's struggling, lose your number one, rely on your number two, and now you're looking at 3-4 and possibly 5.
Yeah, who knows the way things are going. Let's get to the forward position here, because from the time that Ryan Johansson was dealt a couple of weeks ago, the big question has been, all right, where are you going to get your offense from? Because Johansson, whether you thought he was playing hard enough or he wasn't playing hard enough, when you looked at the stats, he was getting his points. I looked at him today. He's a point per game guy in Nashville. And I'm sure that he's had good shifts and bad shifts, just like he did here. That's just how he is right now. But my point is, there were a lot of points that were taken off the table. Who was going to come up with those points? And I guess it's going to be interesting to see if it was just because Montreal is struggling so bad and they made mistakes, or can Cam Atkinson, Brandon Dubinsky, Boone Jenner, Brandon Saad, can they keep doing what they did the last 2 days? Because especially the Jenner, Dubinsky, and Atkinson line, they have been terrific for two games.
Well, they all seem like they have got some kind of competition going on to get that next goal. I mean, all four guys that are topping this team scored last night. Saad was the last one.
And Scott Hartnell was.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's 17, 18, 19 goals, these guys, and that's a bit of a competition there. They've fired that up, and you can see that. And, you know, it's interesting. Ryan Johansson is no question a blue-chip centerman, and he's a guy that you mentioned he's going to get the points. But, you know, you're not going to win a championship with one guy getting his points. He's going to be a shutdown. In a seven-game series, the top defenseman and the top forwards are going to be so focused on that player and that line that you need the depth. That's where the depth comes in. And Ryan Johansson this year, I think we spent a lot of time waiting for him to grab the game, take the game over, you know, score a goal at that time when we need it on that power play, and it wasn't happening for whatever reason, and the Blue Jackets had to wait. So, you know, there's no question they could use help. I go back to Montreal. They're desperate for scoring. I mean, that's the headlines. When you don't have a goaltender, you want the puck to be stopped. When you don't have the goal scoring, you want the goals to go in. So there's a need, obviously, up front with the Blue Jackets, too. Over a full season and in the playoffs, I think, obviously, I mean, you need another goal scorer. You need another highly skilled player, especially down the middle. That's, you know, you have Wennberg and Carlson, but they're so defensive-minded. They need to get a little more jam in their offense, but it's just not there right now in their development. So, you know, I like the guys that are scoring right now, but an addition up the middle, someone with that elite talent and that elite attitude that the Blue Jackets are trying to carry here, are going to carry, I guess we could say, in that with that trade and that statement that, you know, it's definitely needed.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how they address that as we go along. We'll continue to talk about the state of the Blue Jackets as we continue with the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Blue Jackets All-Star forward Brandon Saad will join us before he takes off to go to Nashville for the NHL All-Star festivities that will be taking place this weekend. Brandon Saad, he's been red hot for the Blue Jackets here in these last couple of games. You know, Jody, you were talking about the competition between the top goal scorers on this team. It's kind of funny the way the last two games have worked out because you have Dubinsky, Atkinson, and Jenner on the same line. They're combining and picking up their points together. And then all of a sudden, Brandon Saad comes off the bench as if to say, hey, I got to get in on this. And he has to do it on his own line.
A little poke check into an empty net and a big laugh from those guys. So, yeah, that one line, Dubinsky, Atkinson, and, you know, I'm so impressed with Cam Atkinson. And I think you are too, Bob. Since John Tortorella got here, you know, Cam was kind of in between for me. He was a guy that was quick, but he was part-time quick. It was like he was in between his role. And since Torts has got here, I don't know if he's just settled him down. I know he did it with Saad. He told Saad, hey, use your speed. Don't look to pass. You got a great shot. Use it. I'm not sure if he simplified it for Cam or not, but Cam has been a different player. He's played every shift hard, and he plays all situations. That penalty killing for him is huge. And when he was out for the first 10 minutes of the period last night, the second period, I heard he had some kind of concussion protocol he had to go through. When he came back, that line, they scored right away. It was that play from Dubinsky in the forecheck. Dubinsky backs out. Atkinson battles two guys, gets up. I think he passed from his knees to Dubinsky for that goal when he was standing out in front. So he's got that. There's just a different way about Cam Atkinson. And that's it. The value for him on this team right now is huge.
Last year, it was unsure whether or not he was going to be here or not. Remember, trade deadline day? He got a contract that day. And I talked to him yesterday before the game, and we were talking about his hat trick two nights ago. And I said to him, you know, you're really coming on here, especially in this last month or so. Is there one thing that you can look at and say, well, this happened and this is why I'm playing like I am? And his answer to me was, I've just kind of tuned out all the outside noise and I'm just having fun and I'm playing hockey. I'm glad I have a contract. I'm glad to be with this organization. And he's telling me this, and I'm thinking in my mind,
look what's happened to this kid. I mean, since John Tortorella took over, one of the things he did was give him more responsibility, especially on the penalty kill. And he has thrived on the penalty kill. And to me, it looks like that's bled into other areas of his game. And the other thing is, we were talking about Ryan Johansson in the first segment. That was one of his good buddies. And he's gone. You know, and he might be going to a team that's headed for the playoffs or could do great things or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, and you can attest to this because you've moved from one city to another city. When you're in a place that you want to be, don't you want to be there? And don't you want to be productive there and just have everything else tune out and have a good time and enjoy where you are?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's a feeling that you can have it and try to get it back sometimes when you lose it. And it's tough to get. It depends on the situation. And you know, that Johansson movement is interesting. It either, you know, either maybe it woke Cam up a little bit and it snapped him into this realization that, hey, I really want to be here. Or maybe he needed a little room to grow without Johansson around. You know, when you're on the same team and you're palling around all the time, maybe you get stuck in habits that you don't need to be in. But I think the Tortorella effect has been huge on him because, you know, Tortorella had Zuccarello in New York. And we know Torts loves speed. I mean, he loves speed and quickness, and it's a definite weapon. And when he's got Cam Atkinson and Brandon Saad buying in, I think those two guys, and Torts will tell you, he miscast Saad earlier this year when he had him. He did him a disservice. And that's part of the process, what they're going to go through in the feeling out process. But how much do you think that happens? I mean, how many players right now are sitting on a team, and maybe even here in Columbus, when we don't, maybe coaches or maybe even management has them miscast a little bit, and they just need that little bit of extra room, you know, get that guy out of the way or put me in this different situation, and they're really going to grow. And I'm sure it happens a lot, and it's great. I think it's for coaches, it's got to be one of the most rewarding things when you can put a player in a different situation and he grows the way Atkinson and Saad have here very quickly too.
Well, we just saw a trade a short time ago between Anaheim and Pittsburgh where Carl Hagelin, who had been in New York with the Rangers, got traded to the Ducks at the draft and was not playing well in Anaheim at all. So they trade David Perron from Pittsburgh. They bring him in. He's fit in very nicely there. It's different. But like you said, the role is different. You know, back in the familiarity of the Eastern Conference, there are a whole bunch of things to play into all this, isn't there?
Yeah, and it worked out for both teams.
Yeah.
If you look at what Perron brings into the Ducks organization, and that's the interesting thing, and that's the task of Jarmo Kekalainen and John Davidson. It's a fine one. And we've talked before on this show, how fine is that line? And that's their question, right? Like, how far off are the Blue Jackets? I mean, there's some nights we watch them, Bob, and they're like, they can beat anybody, you know, when Bob's in and the team's rolling and that attitude is there. And then there's some nights where you're like, what is going on here? Where is that step? And sometimes it's one trade, Hagelin. That one move and position, that new role, the role that he's familiar with Mike Sullivan, who had him in New York. He's got him now in Pittsburgh, and he's playing him exactly the way Hagelin likes to be played. And you know, and it's infectious for the players on that team. So you get Crosby and Malkin, see Hagelin come in and enjoy what he's doing and bringing a buzz to the room. It's a fun room to be in. So and you know, the winning helps. But, you know, sometimes when things are missing, it's really not that big of a gap that people think. There could be a movement of a player or a different role.
Speaking of player movement, now we'll get into when the Blue Jackets get back to play, we're into February. And the end of February, the 29th, is a trade deadline. So the next 4 weeks is really going to be dominated around the league by trade talk. And it, for sure, there's going to be a lot of it focused on this team as far as what they are willing to do, what they can do to find a way to retool, maybe free up a little bit of salary so that they can make moves. You've got guys, you've got Boone Jenner, Ryan Murray, and Seth Jones right off the bat that are at the end of their entry-level deals that you have to find money for right there. Just talking about those three guys. So it's going to be an interesting month, isn't it?
Well, it's going to have to be when you look at the salary cap and where the Blue Jackets are at. I mean, there's players that are obviously attractive to teams that are right there and need a little bit of fresh air going into this last part of the season, especially after that trade deadline. And there's teams that think they have more than what we just talked about. They just need that one guy that fits in or subtraction of a guy. So there's no question there's something, you know, there's got to be room made for those three guys. And I mean, you're talking about cornerstone players of this organization.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk to a guy that was already traded this past summer from the Chicago Blackhawks to the Blue Jackets, and now he will represent them at the NHL All-Star Game this coming weekend. Brandon Saad will join us next as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan. NHL All-Star Weekend is about to commence in Nashville, Tennessee. It's not just a game anymore. It's going to be a three-on-three tournament. Each division will have a team to represent it, and they'll play three-on-three, and there's actually some good prize money going to be given out to the winning team of that. How about that? The Blue Jackets going to be represented in that game by Brandon Saad, who joins us right now. Brandon, thanks for taking a couple of minutes on what's kind of like your final day off before you have to go back to work.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, how excited are you? I mean, you're a guy that before you came here at a very young age in this league, you've already won two Stanley Cups. You've played alongside of a lot of all-stars. Now you get a chance to be one. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's amazing. You know, it's something like you said, where in the past playing with some great players and you always see them going to these types of events. And you always dream as a young player to get there one day. And fortunately, it came this soon, and I'm really excited to be going.
Hey, Brandon, Jody Shelley here. I was wondering, what do you think about the John Scott situation? Is that going to be fun? Do you know him? Did you play with him in Chicago or cross paths with him?
Yeah, my first year, actually, training camp. I briefly met him there for a little bit, and I ended up getting sent back to junior there. But I met him a little bit, and he seemed like a great guy. And, you know, it's a pretty crazy situation, but at the end of the day, I'm glad that he'll be there. And I'm looking forward to seeing him again and get to talk with him.
Yeah, that's going to be unique. But I think for the three-on-three, I think he's going to be good. He's so big, and he's pretty good in that defensive zone. Are you? Do you know what your skill is yet for the skills competition?
No, I'm not sure, actually. I know could be in the breakaway challenge. And I think, at least talking with Fliggy from last year, that the team captains, I guess, kind of pick out what guys are doing. So I'm not exactly sure what I'll be doing. I know you're involved in something, but it's something that I'm going to figure out when I get there.
Speaking of the breakaway challenge, you can vote for Brandon Saad to participate in that. And this goes until 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. All you have to do is tweet and use the hashtag NHL Breakaway Saad. And
nice.
Don't forget, there's two A's in that, okay? Don't spell it wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you are you getting mentally prepared in case you do wind up in that challenge and what you're going to try to do to be unique?
Well, not too much. You know, it's it's something that I'm really just going to have fun with it. And the whole weekend, it's going to be a lot of fun and just enjoy it and kind of soak it all in, getting to be around great players around the league and get to enjoy that time there and kind of showcase your talent and have some fun in front of a lot of fans. So it's a great city. It's a fun event. And I'm really excited about going.
Yeah, because last year when Ryan Johansson won it, he did a couple of unique things. He had the Buckeyes jersey underneath his jersey. And then he took Mike Vogt, the trainer, picked up his son and carried him in while he went in and shot. And then Jake Voracek picked up Johnny Gaudreau and took him in and used him as a kid to shoot. And also, here's another thing. A guy that you used to be teammates with in Chicago, Patrick Kane, he's been you know, he's had some pretty good outings in this thing, too, with the Superman cape and the glasses and all that stuff. So, I mean, you're not going to have a lot of time. If you get selected, Brandon, you don't have a lot of time to come up with something that's really going to set a new bar.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of tough competition. So we'll see when the votes come in, but hopefully I get picked, and I'll have to do some brainstorming there pretty quick and figure something out.
You'll be going around Nashville saying, where's the nearest mall? I've got to pick up a couple of things here.
Hey, Brad, I think Bob McGilligan, the radio guy, is just pushing to go here. Maybe he wants you to go to put him on his shoulders or something. Hey, no, my question for you right now is you have 19 goals. You got your 19th last night in Montreal. You got three other guys that are right behind you, and everybody scores last night. You're the last one to score. You guys got a little competition going, a little friendly vibe going with this goal scoring?
No, not that we talk about, but we're competitive guys, and I know every time one of us is scoring, it's big goals for our team, and we're all excited to keep that competition going a little bit. So it's fun watching other guys have success and get up in numbers, and then you try to push yourself and try to stick with them. So it's been pretty good so far.
What about the game before that? Cam has two, you have two, time's winding down, yeah. And it's like, who's going to get a chance to come back out and have the shot at the hat trick, which he got the shot and he buried it too.
Yeah, that was great. You know, watching him, and he'd had a great past couple of games, and for him to get out there, and I think there's 20 seconds or so, and great passing play by that line, and he finished it off, so what a night for him.
Brandon, I've been watching you around the rink, and I know it's tough when you get traded, and you don't want to walk in. We talked about this earlier. You can't walk in and be the guy to say, you know, why are we doing this? Do this. We should be doing this. It really looks like you've settled into a leadership role. You're having fun with the guys. You seem like you've got some great camaraderie on the ice. When you look at where you're at right now, is it just way more comfortable, and you see yourself as a leader here now than it was obviously in the beginning?
Yeah, definitely. You know, coming in, it's something like you said, with kind of feeling things out and learning still. It's everything's new, a new group of guys, a new city, a new environment. So coming in my first time going through something like that, I was trying to just play my best and do what I can on and off the ice, and kind of taking that role. And now that I've been here a while, I'm feeling more comfortable around the guys and kind of settling in and letting your personality come out a little bit more and have some fun with it. So I think that's the biggest thing, is when you're comfortable and feeling good, and your game just tends to be at its best. So I think that's the biggest thing, is having fun with it. And the guys have been great around me, so it's been a lot of fun.
Talking with Brandon Saad, he's on his way to Nashville to represent the Blue Jackets at NHL All-Star Weekend. When you're talking about guys that you're comfortable with and you're enjoying being around, where does Alexander Wennberg rank on that list? Because he's your centerman. And Scott Hartnell's on the other side. I don't want to discount from Scott, but you and Alexander Wennberg look like you've really made a connection between the two of you that's producing really for both of you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, he's a great player, and I was a young kid. So me being as young as I am and coming in and being older than some of these guys and seeing how they're coming to work every day and producing and having fun. And so Wenny's one of those guys that I kind of gained that chemistry with, and we've been pinned together for quite a bit now. So anytime you're together for a while, I think you develop that chemistry and kind of get that swagger out there. So I know every night we just try to have fun with it, and seeing him with as young as he is and the skill he has and the way he sees the ice, he's a lot of fun to play with. And I'm really looking forward to finishing the year off strong with him.
All right, speaking of young guys, earlier Jody and I were talking about Jonas Korpisalo, and you've played in front of good goaltenders, Corey Crawford in Chicago, Sergei Bobrovsky here, and all of a sudden, all of you guys are in a situation where you've got a 21-year-old guy behind you playing in goal. He comes up from the American Hockey League. You saw him a little bit in camp, but nobody really knows all that much about him. At first, until you learn about him and get confidence in him, do you have to watch and make sure there's not a tendency to play a little bit differently, or don't do things that you shouldn't be doing to try and help him out, because sometimes that puts you in danger? So that's number one. And number two, how much confidence has he earned with you guys now, especially in these last couple of games, that you look at him like anybody else?
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, it's someone I didn't know too much about. And when he first comes in, I know the way our team plays, we want to play well defensively regardless of who's in net, and stick to our structure and our game plan. But not knowing too much about him, you kind of wonder, and then you see how he fits into place and how composed he is and how calm he is in net. And he's been great for us. You know, he gives our team confidence that, mistakes are going to happen, but he's going to be there to bail you out. And I think especially the last couple games with how composed he is, and really nothing seems to faze him. So he's been great for us, and that's a huge part of our team and why we've had success as of late. And that's someone we need back there and someone we're going to have to follow.
Brandon, John Tortorella gets run over in practice, and Kenny McCutton gets the call to get down on the bench, and he gets that, you know, huge honor for him. You guys obviously see that in him and his positive attitude all the time. How excited were you guys for Kenny to get down there and have some fun with you guys?
It's unbelievable. You know, working with a lot of us too, with some skills on and off the ice before practice. And like you said, with his attitude and how positive he is, he's just fun to be around, you know, and for us to get some wins for him too, and get to see that excitement he has too, that he's worked for it, and kind of get, that's not the way you want to get your opportunity, but he's got it and he's excited to be on the bench and be around the guys and see some success. So he's a joy to be around, and really I can't be more excited for him to have that experience and get some wins and also get a great win in a great building there in Montreal.
Yeah, what a great backstory on Kenny McCudden, too. He just joins the organization this year. He's been in Chicago for a long time, you know, instructing youth hockey players. He's worked with the Chicago Wolves in the American Hockey League for a long time. And even though he's been around the game for a very long time, this is his first crack at the NHL. And Brandon, when you're talking about that excitement, it's pure and it's genuine because you know, all of us wonder if we're ever going to get a shot in this league. And not only is he getting the shot, but he's getting it from ice level right now.
Yeah, exactly. Everything you just said, it's fantastic, and couldn't happen to a better guy. So he's great to be around, and it rubs off on everyone else. So I'm glad to have him.
Is your biggest challenge going into the weekend finding a way to maintain enough energy to make the trip out to Edmonton and be ready to go when the regular season gets back underway next week for the Blue Jackets?
Yeah, it's pretty hectic how the schedules kind of fell. And I know ending All-Star weekend Sunday night and flying out Monday morning to Edmonton there for the week-long road trip. And you got a back-to-back game in there, too. So it's a busy schedule, but I think just the excitement about it and loving to play the game, personally, it makes it all the better. So really you don't think about it too much, and you want to be on the ice and have fun and play the game of hockey. So I'm just going to take this time to enjoy the weekend and soak it all in. And then, like you said, it's back to work there starting early of next week. So the biggest thing is just to enjoy it. And then when you get back to work, it's back to work. So having fun and enjoying the moment.
Well, I hope you do enjoy it. And, you know, we're very fortunate to be represented by you in the All-Star game. So the Columbus Blue Jackets, very well represented with your being there. Wish you the best. And if you do get in the breakaway challenge, start thinking about what you're going to do, man. Lots of pressure. we'll critique
all Bob.
Yeah, we'll critique you when you get back, and none of it will matter, but we'll have fun with it. All right. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it. Have a great trip.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Brandon Saad, he'll represent the Blue Jackets at the NHL All-Star Game. And again, you can tweet and use the hashtag NHL Breakaway Saad, and that will end tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We'll find out who is going to be in the breakaway challenge to go one-on-one with the goaltender and use whatever trick, costume, or whatever you want to do, you can do it. There's no rules.
You see the kid in Europe who lit his stick on fire?
No, I did not.
It was awesome. He took some lighter fluid. he sprayed his stick, struck a match, so now his stick is now burning. And then he goes down on the goaltender. Now, my thought was, if I'm the goaltender, there's no way I'm saving that puck.
Right.
I'm getting out of the way. The only way to top that is ask the building to dim the lights.
Yeah, there you go. Wonder how many goaltenders when they're sitting in there and they see certain guys with the puck and Ovechkin coming, if it looks like it's on fire anyway to them.
Why is there a goaltender in that anyways?
I have no idea.
It should just be a target.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because it's just meant to be fun, like for the goaltenders.
Yeah, maybe something
here.
In the net that if you hit it, it's like, you know, fireworks go off in the building or something.
There you go. Everybody wants them to hit that target.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that would be very interesting. See, there's an idea. Well, it's probably too late for him to set that up. Could you imagine if Brandon gets in it and he can get a target?
Well, we should have done it last year because we...
Yeah.
We could have just set it up.
You could have had something.
Maybe the cannon goes off every time, right? Neat. Little
ding, ding, ding. You know what? That's the story of our lives. A year later, we think of the great ideas. So next year at this time, we'll really be intelligent.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be unbelievable. We'll come back and wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan. You knew I wasn't talking until that happened, right?
I'm surprised you jumped in there.
Well, I know they've already cut out the rest of the words. So.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, see? That I did know, but I figured that part would be in there. We're saving it for that. Wrapping up the Inside Edge tonight on 97.1, the Fan. Blue Jackets in the midst of the All-Star break. They'll be back in action next Tuesday night in Edmonton. It's the Western Canada trip next week, going to Edmonton, Vancouver, and Calgary in that very order, before coming back to Nationwide Arena. Next home game isn't until February 9th. A couple of things going on around the league. Out in Los Angeles, our good friend Bob Miller, who is the television play-by-play voice for the Los Angeles Kings, is going to be out of action for a while. He's undergoing bypass surgery. That came out today. Nick Nixon, who was a Hall of Famer and does the radio there. Somebody I just talked to a couple of weeks ago when the Kings were here on my CBJ and 30 podcast. He's going to be taking over on the TV side. But the reason we bring it up is because this is a game full of great people. And to me, Bob Miller is right near the top of the list of great people, not just because he's a broadcaster and I'm a broadcaster. I just think this is a great person who treats everybody the same, and we wish him nothing but the best.
I couldn't agree with you more. And in that position that he's in, he appreciates where he's at in the National Hockey League. And even as a player, you really get the sense. I remember running into Bob Miller and Jim Fox out there, and they're just – Bob Miller is just a classy guy who carries himself so well, a real gentleman with everyone he sees, and represents the Los Angeles Kings and the NHL so well. So, yeah, hopefully he takes just a little time and recovers quickly from that procedure.
And he's been there a long, long, long time. I mean, he's been there for the best of times and the worst of times.
Yeah, right.
Bob Miller has. So he's paid his dues there. And as you said, though, appreciates it. Just, I don't think I've ever seen a guy without a smile on his face and coming over and telling a joke. And some of them are really funny that I can't repeat here on
right.
there. But he's just, that's the kind of guy he is. And I mean, to me, this is a guy that's in the Hall of Fame. And to me, just coming into the league and the fact that somebody has gone to the extent of knowing your name when they come up and introduce themselves to you as a Hall of Famer. That doesn't happen all the time, and I don't care what sport you're in. So this is a true gentleman of the game, and we wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely. Another big thing today going on around the league, in Canada mostly, it's hashtag Bell Let's Talk. It's a mental health initiative put on by Bell Canada, and they 5 cents for every tweet of that hashtag Bell Let's Talk or retweet of that goes towards mental health and all its initiatives. And it's a huge push across Canada, North America. Ellen DeGeneres has jumped on board to explain it to her audience. And tonight before I walked in, I heard it was already up to $4.5 million raised, a nickel at a time. And you think about that. Pretty impressive initiative they've got going up there. So.
And don't forget, mental health covers a wide spectrum of things.
Oh, yes.
Okay? It doesn't mean, it's not like when we were growing up, if it was a mental health issue, you were in an asylum somewhere.
No, that's not it.
There are a ton of mental health issues. I don't even want to mention any of them because I'll miss a ton of them.
That's right.
It's a lot of different things. And like you just said, it's covering the spectrum for all of them. So.
Yeah, and it could be as simple as feelings. If you're feeling down, to talk to someone, it's just even us having this conversation about it is a win for mental health awareness. So that's a big initiative. Of course, we've done the Do It for Darren here in Columbus. But, Bell Canada stepping up, and it's something that just gets bigger and bigger every year. And it's really great to see that.
Absolutely. Steven Stamkos, the Tampa Bay Lightning, now going to offer him something, offering him something. Is he going to stay? That seems to be a big bone of contention. Is he going to stay as a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning or not? What do you think?
I think he does. I mean, it's I know his agent, Pat Morris. He was my agent also, and I remember he would say, you're past December. Why wouldn't you just wait? And as a player, you're like, no, I can't wait. I want to sign here now. Well, if you weigh this and that, so I'm sure Stamkos, there's no question he's well aware of the opportunities that will come his way. I heard they offered him $8.5 million, and that's people were offended by that offer, which I guess is $10 million in Tampa, in Florida, because
there's
no tax implications.
No state sales tax in Florida. So, I've had so many arguments with people about that where they say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, yeah, in Texas and Florida, there's no state income tax, so... You make more money.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's huge.
That'll be interesting situation. And the rest of the team saying, well, it's not a distraction. But to me, a guy of that stature, it's a distraction. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, a huge distraction.
Last year, you were in the Stanley Cup final.
Huge.
You've been in a lot of injuries this year. You're struggling. You're getting back on your feet. You don't need that, right?
Yeah, no, because he's not going to tell you what's going on as a teammate.
Right.
You want him to be settled in. Are you going to be playing with him next year? What's going to happen to this organization? I just signed here. Should I sign here? All those things. So it's a distraction. And it's the first question everybody wants to ask, and they just don't out of respect, right?
That's right. And the other thing is, for him, it's the first question he gets asked everywhere he goes. He would probably be more apt to just give me the contract. Let me sign this thing and get all these people away from me.
He'll be happy when it is signed.
Oh, no doubt. NHL All-Star Weekend coming up. Brandon Saad will head out there tomorrow, and then skills competition Friday, game Saturday. What you got?
I just want to mention Joe Thornton got his 1,300th NHL point. I mean, talk about All-Stars.
What a guy.
He's not going to go to the All-Star game again. We know that. He could, but he'd rather not.
Right, exactly.
1,300 points, and just a tip of the hat to old Joe, the 33rd player in NHL history to hit that level.
One of the classics of the game, isn't he? You know, you were his teammate in San Jose.
He's he is awesome. We should interview him sometime. Maybe we can get him on the air.
Yeah, we should do
we
that.
We should have
sometime.
Had him on tonight. Yeah, well, another great idea.
Yeah, he's not doing anything. Yeah, yes, he is doing something. He's on vacation now.
He's on a plane.
He's on a plane or something. So, again, Brandon Saad participating in the NHL All-Star Weekend. It's a three-on-three tournament. Each division will have their own team. They'll play three-on-three, and then the two winners are going to play off for the championship. That's the way they'll do it this year in Nashville, and then everybody will get back into action next week. There's still some games that are being played tonight. Not everybody's on the break. There's some games on the docket tonight, but you can still vote for Brandon Saad to participate in the breakaway challenge in the skills competition. All you have to do is tweet hashtag NHL breakaway Saad. That's going to do it for our show tonight. We are going to be rejoining you next week in Edmonton, Tuesday night, the game in Edmonton, and then heading over to Vancouver on Wednesday. So for Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligot. Thanks for listening to The Inside Edge right here on 97.1 The Fan.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligot.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.